Hey, welcome to Lighthouse Niagara. We hope you enjoy the sermon.
I want to entitle the message, Who's in Your House? Who's in Your House? And oftentimes, we are very careful about who's in the house. In fact, at nighttime, oftentimes we lock the doors to make sure that nobody comes into the house. I had a neighbor that said, hey, listen, I just want you to know, I'm going to be leaving lights on outside to deter anybody that wants to come into the house, that things are visible. And so they've put lights on in the front and on the side and back, and so the lights are on. Why? Because it's important that we know who's in the house. So the question today, regarding this temple that we are, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, talks about the fact that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit resides in us. And it goes on to talk about not defiling this temple. Just in the past, this past little while, there's a number of you, and it's come to my attention, and some have spoken to me directly, you're recognizing that there's certain things and habits and actions and activities and whatever that defile the temple, and you have been making an effort to say, I'm not going to continue to defile the temple that where God is in, the Holy Spirit is within us. And so you're making things right before the Lord. There is a, if you read verse 17, there is a very strong word against us if we defile this temple, this body that the Lord has given us. So we need to take care of it. Who's in your house? Today, I want you to know that God wants to help us in the house that we are, and that he is in the house, this house, that his presence is with us. The presence of God for us, even as the Holy Spirit is in us, that we would come into the presence of God. So often as believers, we recognize the Holy Spirit is within us, but we don't take time to be with the Lord. And he's within us. Can you imagine having somebody in your house, you're living together, and you don't take time? What a hard thing it would be for a husband and wife to be in the same house and have no interaction. And sometimes that is exactly how it is for us as believers. We've confessed our sin. We confess Jesus as the one that can take care of our sins. We've invited him into our lives, and we don't take the time to be in his presence. We need to take time to be in his presence. He desires to build a house, a life that is occupied by God. 1 Corinthians 3:10, just before these verses, of 16 and 17, I want to read the verses leading up to it. It says, and this is Paul writing to the Corinthians, he says, according to the grace of God, verse 10, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. So he says, I've laid this foundation. And it says, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. And from last week, we're talking about building a house, building the house that we are, the life that we, the Lord would desire for us to have. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If you build your life on anything else than Jesus Christ, I'll tell you right now, your house will fall when the storm comes. It won't survive. We see that with some of the heavy rains and floods and houses that were easily destroyed by the floodwaters raising and rising. Let me read again. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear. How you build, the things you do when it comes to your life, will one day be made very clear what it was as a believer with the foundation of Jesus Christ. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Things that we do build a life, and that our life would contain and acknowledge the presence of God within us. The presence of God within us. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 44. I never thought when I started chapter 44 that it would take this long to get through. And I thank God for the depth of his word, because that's what it is. We're going into the depth of the word. And it says in verse 15, and I want you to take note of this, these men, this priesthood of Levites, and a specific section of Levites that are mentioned here. It says, but the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge, who kept a watch over the temple. And you might say, what temple? Zadok was the priest, the high priest, during the time of King David. He was a good high priest. And he advised the king, King David. And there was something about Zadok and his offspring, because Ezekiel, when he's prophesying at this point, is hundreds of years later. David lived around 1000 BC, is when his reign was, and he reigned for 40 years. And here, this is about 600 BC. We're talking a span of about 400 years later. Now, it's interesting. It says, but the priests, the Levites, which is the priestly order, then they should be doing the right things, and specifically the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary, the temple, right into the Holy of Holies, when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me. And so the children of Israel, especially the northern tribes or the northern kingdom that took place after David's grandson, Rehoboam, really messed things up, and that kingdom was split from one kingdom into two, a northern and southern. And there were 10 tribes of the 12 tribes that went to the north. And then the tribe of Judah and Benjamin was the southern tribe. And the Levites, that they led, there was a grouping of Levites that led the children astray. The sons of Zadok moved out of the northern kingdom to be in the southern kingdom, because there was a taking care of the temple. Now you say, what does that have to do with me? I'll tell you right now, we need to take care of this temple. In your lives, it is critical that we take care of this temple. It says they kept his charge. Are you keeping the charge that the Lord would put upon you, the responsibilities that the Lord would put upon you to say, I will serve you, God. I'm going to do what you call me to do and what you tell me to do. I will acknowledge you. I will be there with you in your presence. Again, I ask you, do you take time to set apart time? I'll tell you right now, one of the best things that happened to me, which is totally contrary to my nature and my whatever, I tend to stay up late. And waking up early in the morning is not easy for me. But the best thing by far has been to be in the house of the Lord early in the morning, or take time early in the morning. And so that time at 5:15 usually, and there's a group of individuals that comes and is here Monday to Friday. Monday, I'm not here. Tuesday to Friday, to be here in the house of the Lord is not easy. But what the best thing was to take charge of this temple and take his charge in my life. And it's totally free will. I can do it or not. And so here, these priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of his sanctuary, of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me. Oftentimes it's like, Lord, no, you need to minister to me. Lord, we have our list of things that we have issue with in our lives, and we bring them before the Lord, and we should. Absolutely. But do you know that you can minister to the Lord? We need to minister to the Lord. They shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood. Now, if you heard the message from last Wednesday, if you didn't catch it, go and look and listen to the message. I would say go on YouTube, Lighthouse Niagara, and listen to all the messages about the temple. It's critical because we're talking about your life, the way you treat yourself before the Lord, the things you do before the Lord. It says, they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood. The most important thing to the Father is the fat and the blood. And this is representative of exactly what we did this morning in taking the emblems and to remember his body broken for us and his blood shed for us. That is the most important thing to the Father. We need to acknowledge that in our lives daily. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, deny yourself. It's not just about you and me. Take up the cross daily and follow me. What does it mean to take up the cross daily? Some people, they have this weird idea that you're taking up a cross, and it's like, oh my goodness, my life is so hard. To live for Jesus is so hard. And I'm not saying that you don't have difficulties. We all have difficulties in our life. No, that's not taking up the cross daily. Taking up the cross daily is the remembrance of Jesus Christ and what he did for us in his life 2,000 years ago by going to the cross. We remember it. And I'll tell you right now, why is that so important? As Paul says, we preach Christ crucified, the wisdom and power of God. So every morning when I wake up, there's an acknowledgement of Jesus Christ and him crucified, his body broken, his blood shed for me. And the power and the wisdom of God comes to a person that's not that smart and not that strong. And he gives me the opportunity to get through the day. Some days, like Wednesdays, are long days. And I could not believe. I just say, thank you, Jesus. I went from 6 o'clock in the morning here all the way. I didn't get home till 11:30 at night. And it was like, Lord, you were with me throughout the whole thing, your power and your wisdom in my life. And I acknowledge it is not me. It is the only thing, it is the power and wisdom of God as I acknowledge the fat and the blood, the sacrifice of Jesus. Listen, some of you, I don't know what you're doing, but you are living a life that is so, as a believer, and there are so many different things in your life that you're just struggling with. You're struggling with the cares of this life. And a lot of times with the cares of this life comes a lot of fear and anxiety, comes a lot of whatever. Am I going to make the finances? Do we have enough finances? Health situations, relational situations, doesn't matter. All these different things, your emotions are just, they're in turmoil constantly because of the cares of this life, and it's just choking you out. And it's like, man, do I need the power or wisdom of God? You better believe it. I need the power and wisdom of God in my life. And so what do? I take the fat and I take the blood and I bring it before, they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood. I'm going to acknowledge what was most precious to the Father, his Son, and his Son's sacrifice for our sake. And I'm going to acknowledge it every day. I'm going to take up the cross daily, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The name of the Lord is to be great in our lives. Malachi 1 verse 11. If you read that first chapter and into the second, let's give him a hand. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, if you read Malachi 1 and into 2, the problem was, and just so you know, four chapters, it's a monologue. God asking a question and then giving the answer. That's a monologue. There's nobody else talking. Just him. Read it. It's the last book of the Old Testament, and then there was silence. Why? Because the people weren't doing what they were supposed to. And this first thing, he says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord will be great with the Gentiles. Why? Because you messed it up. The Levites, they messed it up. The sons of Zadok did not. This small group did not mess it up. We get, oh my goodness. I just say, thank you, Jesus, for your finished work and the power and the wisdom made available to me on a daily basis beyond what I can possibly do. And sometimes you know what's happening because everything is sometimes working out even to the minute. You ever have something, it's like, and you've got these things to do, and then something else comes up, and everything works out to the minute. And to me, it's right away, I just say, oh, I acknowledge you in this, Lord. His name is always synonymous with what he did for us. Jesus Christ and him crucified is what Paul writes. I was determined you would know nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. The sons of Zadok had the charge of the tabernacle, the temple, because they were responsible with the fat and the blood. It says, they shall enter my sanctuary. They'll come into my presence, and they shall come near my table. I'll tell you right now, there's something about coming to a table. There's something about coming to the table. It's a place of fellowship. Yesterday, we came to a table and there was fellowship that took place with relatives. I have aunts and uncles here from across Canada and across the ocean. They're here this morning. I just say, thank you, Lord, for family, for aunts and uncles. Thank you, Lord, for the thing. The table of fellowship, the table. Also at the table was the thing of here, there's something to eat. One of the exciting things is that that's not something that's going to be taken away when we get to heaven and we come back on earth. We're going to continue to eat. Thank you, Jesus. I love eating. And it's even better when you're with somebody. And here we are with the Lord. He says, you're going to come to my table, and I want to bless you. It is a place of fellowship. It's a place of closeness. It's a place of relationship. It's a place of blessing. To minister to me, he says. Why? Because we acknowledge the fat and the blood. We're acknowledging the fat and the blood. Just say, thank you, Lord, and they shall keep my charge. To be like the sons of Zadok. To be able to come into the presence of God. What a beautiful thing. You know what? Our efforts, our righteousness, as Isaiah says, and we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, plural, are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. If you depend, that's why it says, when Jesus said, deny yourself, take up the cross daily and follow me. Denying yourself is deny your righteousness, your efforts. Lord, I deny it all. A lot of times you say, oh, I gotta give this up. I got to give that up. I can't give this up. It's like, no, we're talking about your righteousness. You deny your righteousness, your efforts. Take up the cross daily and then following Jesus becomes so easy and so good, even in the midst of the worst times. It's like, thank you, Jesus. And it shall be, verse 17, Ezekiel 44, and it shall be, whenever they enter the gates of the inner court, they shall put on linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court or within the house. No wool. They shall have linen turbans on their heads and linen trousers on their bodies. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. I mentioned this the other day or the other time. The thing about linen doesn't cause sweat. And the things that we do unto the Lord is not our work, but it's his, recognizing his finished work. There's no sweat in it. In fact, you living out your life, there's no sweat in it, because the Lord is determining things. And so when it comes to this thing of ministering, it's not about our works so much as it is about what he has done for us. And that is the point of the linen they're wearing. No sweat. It will not cause. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. We sweat when we're working. When they go out to the outer court to the people, they shall take off their garments in which they have ministered, leave them in the holy chambers, and put on other garments. And in their holy garments they shall not sanctify the people. It's like, what? I'm not getting this. Listen. Anything that we do when it comes to relating to others, we cannot save anybody. However, when it comes to sanctifying and a person being changed, it is by the work of the Lord. That's why Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation. First for the Jew, for the religious, and for the Greek or the Gentile or those that are intellectuals. They got it all figured out. The gospel, the power of the gospel to save. I just say, thank you, Jesus. I can't save anybody, but man, I can be a witness. I can be a light. I can be salt. And I can, as the Lord opens doors, I can walk through doors to share Jesus with them. Jesus Christ and him crucified, the fat and the blood, his body and his blood shed for us. Hallelujah. I like what Jesus did when he began his ministry. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him and he began his ministry. And after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom of God, and saying the time is fulfilled. Time is now, and the kingdom of God is at hand. It is here. Repent and believe in the gospel. You want to come and be a part of the kingdom of God? You repent and believe in the gospel. You want the presence of God in your life? There's this thing of this initial repentance and believing in the gospel. And so now there's this thing as we turn. Repentance is a 180. It's not a 360 because you're heading back in the same direction. It's a 180. I'm not going that way anymore. I'm turning away from the things that would destroy my life and my existence and my eternity, and I'm turning to the Lord. And I believe in the gospel, the way, these keys, two things, both. We need to repent and we need to believe in the good news of Jesus Christ and Him crucified for us. That's the gospel. We need to do both. If you only do one and not the other, you will not make it. You say it again. If you don't do both things, repent and believe in the gospel, you will not be able to continue or be in the kingdom of God. You need to do both. That's why the practice of sin, it says, those that practice these things, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 24, 25, 26, talks about the practicing of these things, which is the things of the flesh, which is contrary to the Holy Spirit. But if we continue to practice sin, you will not make it. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why this examining of self and the conviction of the Holy Spirit in life is critical. Repent and believe in the gospel. If you missed last week, I want you to go back, because I went over this thing of the righteousness of God apart from the law. Check it out. Romans 3, 21, 26, and it talks about two main things. His righteousness, four times, and I love the fact, let me just show this by how I view this. So, four times, like this, and three times it talks about faith. So I see it like this.
You can see the faith wrapped by His righteousness.
Surrounding us in every capacity, the righteousness of Jesus through faith in Jesus. His part, He's taken care of it. It was the shedding of blood. It was the body, His body broken, His blood shed for it. Read it. Romans 3, 21 to 26. And there's this thing of Him. It says, by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, in His patience, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus, the one who is made into right standing before God, the one who has faith in Jesus. And that those three things of faith are wrapped in the four things of righteousness all around it, righteousness and faith. And here we are, to the key to coming into the presence of God. If you read that passage, you hear the word propitiation, which was basically tied in with the blood that was sprinkled on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, which was the place that God says, right here is where I'm going to meet you. Right here. This, the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, was like a chest. A treasure chest, if you would. And the lid was where God would meet with the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement. And He could only come in with blood, and it was sprinkled on that seat. And that was where God would meet with the high priest. And the high priest was taking the sins of his own sins and the sins of all the people, and it was put on the sacrifice, and the blood was taken, and the priest brought it and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat, on this propitiation. And that is where God met with the high priest. The beautiful thing is, we can come into the presence of God every single day because of the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus. Not one person, one man, once a year. We're talking about daily. We come into the presence of God. Let it be. Let it be in my life, Lord, that my entire day is just in your righteousness by faith in Jesus and all the power and the wisdom of God made available to me, that I can get through anything and everything. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even to the death. Even in the face of death, I will overcome because he overcame for me. I just say, thank you, Jesus. You don't have to be afraid of anything. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I like what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:29-31. That, and it's talking about the presence, his presence, that no flesh should glory in his presence. What does that mean? It's basically because of what I've done. It's what I've done. I'm a good person. I'm whatever. And so we glory in the presence of God. It says no flesh should glory in his presence, but rather, but of him, the Father, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. So listen, when we come into the presence of God, there are things that I already talked about, wisdom and power, but not just wisdom from God. It says, and righteousness and sanctification. Sanctification is the result of me just saying, Lord, I surrender myself to you. Have your way in my life. How many can just say, Lord, you have your way in my life? Can you do that? Yeah? That's easy enough. It's not like, oh, man, I got to do all these different things. This is all, again, coming to the table here, into his presence. And so his righteousness is upon us, and sanctification, which is the changes that would take place in our lives as we just say, Lord, here I am, this living sacrifice unto you. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Oh, man, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for sending your Son, Jesus, that you came. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in my life. We're going to live forever and with abundance, even on this side of heaven. Paul says, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, the good news, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Listen, if you are spiraling down and you're struggling in your life, I'll tell you right now, the message of the cross is foolishness to you. I don't believe what Pastor Dave or the Word of God is saying here. Let me read it again. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, not just were saved, but for us who are being saved is the power of God. That's easy enough to have the power of God. And I already read or referred to, as Paul says in verse 22, for Jews request a sign. Show us a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, it's foolishness, this thing of preaching Christ crucified. But to those who are called, whether you're a Jew or a Greek, you grab a hold of it, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, than all the wisdom of man combined, and the weakness of God is stronger than all the strength of man combined, by far. And here we have this available in our life, the power and the wisdom of God. Listen, the decisions we make impact our house, our life. The decisions we make will be for God, or they'll be for self, for the flesh. It will build the house or tear it down. Listen, Matthew 7:24, Jesus says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, okay, I need to hear the sayings of the Lord, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and the beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Solid foundation. Now, the thing that gets me here is this. What kind of evaluation do you want from God? To be a wise man, wise person, or to be a fool? A wise man or a fool? Not my evaluation, God's evaluation, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine, so they both hear, and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Listen, make sure your foundation is right. Starts with Jesus Christ and him crucified. These sayings of mine, the very first thing for the beginning of life in you and eternity is Jesus Christ and him crucified for you, the gospel of Jesus. That's the first thing, and you build on that house, and you desire God in your house, and you will withstand the storms of life. Hallelujah. Just quickly, let God build your house, your life. Three keys to building my house. Quickly, co-laborers with God. For we are God's fellow workers, or we are laborers together with God. Co-laborers, the King James Version uses. You are God's field, you are God's building. As you begin to labor with God, the things of God for your life, you will have a house being built. You become his field, you become his building, he is building as you labor together with the Lord. Secondly, through yielding, to trust the Lord and give himself completely over to you. Not my will, your will be done. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, the least you can do. Lord, I give myself to you. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, I just yield myself. You want to be in charge in your life? His good and acceptable and perfect will not play out in your life. Lord, I just abdicate the throne of my life. Jesus, you are on the throne of my life. Let your good and acceptable and perfect will be accomplished in me. The last thing, to have the Lord with you. It says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now listen here. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So you might say, I'm a Christian. I've been baptized. I want to follow Jesus. Am I hearing the word to do it? Teaching them all to observe all things that I've commanded you. That's what one of the functions of a pastor is, to minister the word to you. Because he says then, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Interesting. I need to heed the word of God. I need to do the word of God. He says, and I will be with you right to the end of your life. Right to the end of your life, I will be with you, the presence of God with you. About 30 seconds. I'm going to read two passages. This last thing is the thing about the details, the little details of our life. Ezekiel 44:20. They shall neither shave their heads like the Egyptians and the Romans and whatever. They shall not, the Romans weren't even in existence at the time of Ezekiel. But these other priests, they did certain things to their heads, and they, nor like the hair or let their hair grow long, but they shall keep their hair well trimmed. The details, the little details of our lives. It's like, what, my hair? Are you literally talking about my hair? It's more than that. It's about, again, the details of your life, to take care of them according to the word of God. It says, no priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court. Listen, in the New Testament, and I conclude with this, can we stand together? I'm going to pray. It says, see that you walk circumspectly, or wisely, accurately, exactly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. What do you do with your time? Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You want the will of the Lord played out in your life. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, excess, abandoned life. Listen, and I can get into a big thing on this. This word, and there's so many Christians say, well, I don't get drunk. I drink with moderation. Listen, the alcohol that you drink is strong drink. Even at 4 or 5% alcohol, before the Jews, is sakar, which you are not to have. The drinks were diluted extremely, but all to say this, this word here, drunk, is not the state after. It means to become intoxicated. To become intoxicated starts with the first drink. So I don't want to focus so much on this, but I want you to focus on this. But be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And I'm going to pray this right now. Lord, we desire your presence in our lives, even as you are within us as believers. Lord, there is something about acknowledging you. And Lord, so we desire, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Lord, I pray that not only will we be filled with the Holy Spirit, or Lord, that we would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Lord, not that the Spirit is just in us, but we are in the Spirit of God. Lord, this thing of being filled, this thing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it is about being filled with music. There's something about a house that has music in it. Lord, whatever music that is onto you, Lord, it is a good thing. I enjoy, Lord, especially as I'm alone, to listen and to have that music playing in the car especially. And Lord, that there's psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that go up to you and making a melody in our hearts to the Lord. Lord, it's all about the joy of the Lord. Lord, there's a melody bubbling up within us before you. I just thank you, Lord. Let it be in our lives. And Lord, that we would give thanks. We would be filled with thanksgiving. We would have a grateful heart. That we would have an attitude of praise and worship and thanksgiving before you. Even in the worst of times, we would begin to praise you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of you, Jesus, and what you've done for us, Lord, that we can do this. And Lord, even in the worst of times, we know the outcome with you. Lord, we overcome. That we would submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Let it be in Jesus' name. Everyone says, amen. Amen.
Hey, Lighthouse family. Thanks for tuning into this message. We hope that it encouraged you, challenged you, and reminded you that you're not in this journey alone. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook to keep up with all the exciting events that are happening at Lighthouse. There's a lot more sermons for you to check out wherever you're listening. Thanks again for joining us.